Good evening, folks. I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Bryce Weiler. He has agreed to come and talk with us about his non-for-profit as well as his history, and he's here to tell his story. And Bryce, we want to welcome you to the NFBE of Indiana at Large chapter, and we look forward to your presentation this evening. The floor is now yours.
Thank you, everyone. Good evening. My name is Bryce Weiler. Being born 4 months premature with retinopathy of prematurity, experiencing sports was something that I always wanted to be able to do. Growing up, I listened to games on the radio, listening to Brian Barnhart commentating Illinois football and basketball, and Don Fisher commentating Indiana Hoosiers football and basketball. It was through listening to those two broadcasters that I was able to gain a better understanding of sports. And I always wanted to be able to be around and experience sports because of the vivid descriptions and pictures that those broadcasters painted of the games taking place on the court or the field. Whenever I was deciding where to go to college after graduating from the Indiana School for the Blind in 2010, I became friends with the former University of Evansville Aces head men's basketball coach, Marty Simmons, who's now coaching at Eastern Illinois. Coach Simmons said if I came to Evansville as a student, that he would give me the opportunity to be a part of his college basketball team and to experience college basketball, which were things that I'd always dreamed about being able to do. So I decided to go to Evansville to study sports management and sports broadcasting. And I was fortunate enough to be able to sit on the Evansville men's basketball bench to experience college basketball. Sitting on the Evansville bench really changed my life because it gave me the opportunity to be around college basketball players and coaches. And I was able to shoot free throws before Evansville home games, really just, do things that I dreamed about being able to do in my life. And I'm really grateful for the opportunities and for what Coach Simmons has done for me with giving me that opportunity to be on his Evansville basketball bench. Also, whenever I was at Evansville, I commentated over 90 games on the radio as a blind radio analyst and broadcaster. There were many people who didn't think that I could do that since I cannot see. The first ever time that I commentated a game, the broadcaster who I was working with felt a little nervous commentating with me since I cannot see. And he really didn't want to commentate with me, but the man who taught me how to analyze games on the radio, Tom Benson, convinced him to commentate with me, and that even though I couldn't see, that I would still be able to analyze the basketball game. So I commentated over 90 games whenever I was at Evansville by studying the style of the play-by-play broadcaster who I was commentating with, by shooting free throws on the court before the game, if it was a basketball game that I was commentating to determine if the rim was loose or tight and how the ball bounced off the rim. I would also speak with each team's coach before the game. In addition, I would really study the style of the play-by-play broadcaster that I was commentating with so that I could use my broadcasting style to talk about some of the things that the broadcaster struggled with so that I could make the broadcast be as good as it possibly could be. I really thought that was important because that was something that really helped me whenever I was growing up, was really having a descriptive broadcast where they would also share the stories on the players and the coaches, but also really sharing facts about the game and really just blending that together. So that's what I tried to do every time I commentated at Evansville. I graduated from Evansville in 2014, and so I decided to go to graduate school at Western Illinois so I could gain more practical work experience. When I got to Western Illinois, the athletic department staff would not allow me to do anything because they didn't think that I could since I cannot see. They felt nervous letting me help out with fundraising auctions and some of the other things that I had done whenever I was at Evansville. They also wouldn't let me broadcast games on the radio, even though I'd done over 90 games whenever I was at Evansville. And that really showed me to never take opportunities in my life for granted, because I definitely took for granted having the opportunity to commentate games like I did whenever I was at Evansville. And then when that was taken away, when I got to Western Illinois, it really showed me that you should never take opportunities in your life for granted. So Western Illinois was definitely two of the hardest years of my life, just because I had to go through people not thinking that I could do something since I cannot see. And I was promised that I could help out with fundraising or help out with other items and things like that. And then whenever that didn't happen, I just had to still believe in myself and surround myself with people who believed in me and who wanted to help me to be successful. I finished up at Western Illinois in 2016. I thought about what was most impactful in my life, and that was what Coach Simmons had allowed me to do with sitting on his Evansville men's basketball bench and being able to experience college basketball. I wanted to give that back to help people of all disabilities, not just those who are visually impaired or blind, but every disability, to be able to have life-changing moments and experiences. So I started figuring out email formats for sports teams and companies across the country. And I got in touch with Baltimore's baseball team, with the Orioles, and I've helped them for the past 6 years as their disability consultant. Some of the programs that I've helped with are helping Baltimore to become the first team in sports to wear Braille on their jerseys. That happened during a 2016 or 2019 home game against the Toronto Blue Jays. I've also helped Baltimore with the Orioles to make its social media more accessible for people of all disabilities, putting alt text on photos. I'm hoping that they'll put audio descriptions on videos at some point, but they have alt text on all of their photos, which helps someone who's blind or even someone with a learning disability at some point in time to better understand the content of a photo. I've also worked with them to hire people of all disabilities for employment, and I've also helped them to give people of all disabilities opportunities to play on the field with the Orioles players and coaches at Camden Yards. I've done that before two Orioles home games in 2019, and they have plans to do that more this season at Camden Yards. I have worked to really give people with disabilities the opportunities to live their dreams and to be able to have life-changing moments and experiences. I've done that with the Orioles. I also have a nonprofit that I am the co-founder of. It's called the Beautiful Lives Project. We work to help people of all disabilities to be able to live their dreams in sports and other programs across the country, giving people of all disabilities the opportunity to play on the field with a sports team, such as being able to experience baseball or softball, or being able to shoot free throws on the court, or learning basketball skills, as I'm doing tomorrow. I have people with disabilities playing on the court with the Western Michigan basketball team tomorrow, June 15th, 2022, here in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where I'm speaking to you now from a hotel room in Kalamazoo. Being able to be the co-founder of the Beautiful Lives Project has been something that's been really life-changing for me, being able to give people with disabilities some of those same opportunities that Marty Simmons, who's coaching now at Eastern Illinois, gave me whenever I was at Evansville. Giving people who have disabilities the opportunity to be able to have life-changing moments, to really be able to find friends who support them for a lifetime and who help them when they go through struggles, just as whenever I was at Western Illinois, and people would not give me opportunities to do things because they didn't think that I could, since I cannot see. Whenever someone has a disability, especially if they gain that disability partway through their life, it's a lot harder for them to really adjust to the fact that people might think of them as different or that people might doubt their skills. And so we work at the Beautiful Lives Project to help people of all disabilities to gain employment, to find companies who want to hire people who have disabilities, and to really be able to show how people who have disabilities can do whatever it is that they set their minds to achieving in life. I've known some of the people on this call for a long time, you know, Alex Gelland and Tyler Shirk, since we were students together at the Indiana School for the Blind. Seeing how they've been able to grow and to be successful, Alex now working for the government, helping other people who have disabilities, finding employment and jobs, and, you know, Tyler being successful. It really shows that anyone with a disability can be successful if you put your mind to it, but also if you find people who really want to help you to be successful, because as much as someone with a disability wants to really do something, there's always going to be those obstacles standing in their way, or the people who do not believe that they can do something. So you have to really surround yourself with people who believe in you, and really use the skills you gain in high school or in college or in trade school and wherever that might be, to really do what you can to really change the world. Because you all have a platform, whether it's with the NFB or in your local towns or your communities or wherever, to speak about a cause or something that's important to you, whether it's working to give people who have disabilities more opportunities, or hunger, or human rights, whatever it might be. Use the platforms and the places and spaces that you're a part of to really be able to change someone's life, and to advocate to advocate for something that's important to you. That's often something when I speak to college or high school teams, they don't really do anything. The players, they're high level athletes, say in a minor league baseball setting, and they have all sorts of great stats and things like that. but they don't really speak about a cause or a group or something that's impactful to them. And I think that that's important for everyone to do with a disability is not just sharing about your disability and the things that you can do in the world, but really sharing about how you can give back to others and to help them to be successful. If you'd like to read about some of our work with the Beautiful Lives Project, our website is www.beautifullives.org. You can donate on there if you'd care to do so. All of the funds that we raise go to support our Beautiful Lives Project programs across the country to purchase any necessary items that we might need, such as sign language interpreters for those who are deaf, any specialized equipment that might be needed for events, various things such as that. I've been really grateful for the opportunities that I've been given with the Beautiful Lives Project and also being able to help Baltimore to make their social media and other items more accessible for people who have disabilities. There's a large number of companies and sports teams in this country and the world as a whole who don't really do things for people who have disabilities. So finding a team such as the Orioles or various other companies that I've helped, such as Latch, EverFi, Gray Television, and Rover, finding those groups who want to be accessible for people who have disabilities is important. And that's something you can do every day in your employment and your jobs, whether you work for the state government, such as Alex does, or you work for Walmart, like Tyler does, really using the things you've learned and platform that you're given as an employee to really stand up for injustices or slights that might come against people who have disabilities. Really, really using the platform that you're given to make things more accessible. I know some of the companies that I've worked for, they may have other companies under their portfolio. So I'm tasked to make one group accessible, but then I find that one of the other companies under the same portfolio or brand, their social media or their app isn't accessible per se. So I work to make those items more accessible. Just because you're tasked with a certain job role or duty doesn't mean that you can't do your best to help make everything be as accessible as it could be, because that is what is going to make change happen in the world. And that's what you do every month when you come on with these meetings with Tyler and with everyone else. You work together to make change happen through the NFB, through your chapter, and through your local communities, towns, and cities as a whole, because coming together is what makes change happen. Finding a like-minded group of people to come together and to really help others to realize how to give back or to realize why it's important to make things accessible. There should be more sports teams putting alt text on their pictures. More companies should do that. There should be more groups putting audio descriptions on videos. There's no reason why groups can't do that. It's just changing the mindset. And that's what I've tried to do in my life. And that's what all of you can do in your life and with the groups and the people that you come in contact with. People think my story is interesting because I've met famous people like Rick Pitino and Brad Stevens and people like that. But I just reach out to people. And even though I know Coach Stevens and Rick Pitino and people like that, they're not any more important to my life than Alex Gilland or Tyler Shirk. And then I didn't do a good enough job calling Tyler in the past 5 or 6 years. And I feel bad about that. And I've called Alex a little and should have done better with that as well. But, you know, when I got to the Indiana School for the Blind, Alex really helped me learn how to navigate through the hallways and taught me how the cafeteria worked and things like that. And I'm really grateful for that. Whenever I was at Evansville, I had students who helped me shooting free throws in the Evansville practice gym or helped me get my food in the cafeteria. When I was at Western Illinois, it was a struggle to find students to really eat with me or help me. And that's when I really learned that you never take people in your life for granted. And something that I knew all along is that anybody can help someone and can impact someone's life. You don't have to have a famous job title like Brad Stevens or Rick Pitino to really impact someone's life. I'm grateful for what Alex and Tyler have done for me. The students that helped me at Evansville, whether it was Andy or Colton, sitting on the Evansville basketball bench and commentating Evansville Aces games to me or shooting free throws with me, or the students that helped me whenever I was at Western Illinois, Anna, Paige, Summer, Rachel, they're just as important to me as the high-profile sports coaches or CEOs of companies that people are so interested in hearing about. So all of you have the opportunity to impact someone's life and the world. You just have to decide how you're going to go about that. How are you going to do that? What avenues will you try to impact? How will you try to use your life story and the obstacles you had to overcome? because every person who has a disability, whether it's a physical disability such as being blind or maybe some type of a learning disability such as autism, they all have obstacles and challenges that they've had to overcome. They've all had people who've helped them to be successful, just as Alex and Tyler helped me. And they didn't probably necessarily know how much they helped me until I spoke about it this evening. But I've been thinking about that for the past 2 months since Tyler texted me and asked me to give this speech when I was coming home from a Beautiful Labs Project event where people with disabilities were playing on the field with the Michigan State football team. I thought about how much both of them had impacted my life and how everybody on this call today has had obstacles, challenges, and struggles. And how you share those stories really determines how others can grow from the struggles you've had. I don't want people to have to go through what I went through at Western Illinois, not being given opportunities when I was promised them, not having students want to help me because I'm blind. Students would just not help me. They'd walk by me, they'd say, yeah, we don't feel comfortable helping you through the food line because you can't see, or we don't know how to guide you. They just walk away. I don't want people to have to go through that again. You all have those own obstacles and challenges that you've faced in your life, that you've overcame, that you're still battling today. It's about how do you share that with others? There's no reason why each of you can't give a speech to this group every month, or maybe you bring on two speakers every month because you all have your own story. Well, Tyler says, hey, Bryce, your story is inspiring. And I think, some of the members of my chapter might really like to hear that. My story isn't necessarily different than many of yours. It's just I have really tried to give back to others. And so, people do that as well. I'm sure all of you do that. But I don't think my story is any more exciting than any of yours. Some of the struggles you've had to overcome finding employment, some of you I know on this phone call, choosing a major you thought might work out for you that a college counselor told you would work in college, and you study and you try to find a job in that and it doesn't work. And then you have to find another job so you can support yourself. All of you have similar stories in the vein of the one that I just gave on that same theme. How do you use those? How do you share those to give back to others? Whether it's on these NFB chapter meetings, when you go to conventions, when they do one live or over Zoom or Teams or however they choose to do that. Those are all things that, you'll have to think about how you want to do that, how you want to share those stories, because sharing of stories and sharing of ideas is what makes change happen. That's how I got to do some of the work with the Orioles. That's how I convinced them to do playing on the field programs. I sent them videos and pictures every time that I had people with disabilities playing on the field with a baseball team or a softball team and said, this will be life-changing for people with disabilities at Camden Yards. You should really do this. And eventually they decided they would. And now doing that is some of the favorite things that their staff does every year. That's something that they're really grateful for and something that they enjoy doing. As I think about closing here in a few minutes, really, there's always someone in the world who has life tougher than you. Maybe some of you developed your blindness partway through your life. So in some ways, you may have trouble accepting help or accepting that you can't see the things you could see before or that you can't drive. There's always someone who has it tougher than you. You can still walk. There's someone who's in a wheelchair who can't walk. Most of you, if not all of you, can still hear me speaking to you right now. There's people who are deaf or who are hard of hearing who may have to have closed captions on right now. Or if they chose to join us, they'd be having closed captions on themselves, potentially. There's always someone in the world who has life tougher than you do. So think about that the next time when you're having struggles or when things don't really go your way, because that's what's going to put you back on the path to success and back to where you can share your story to give back to others. And you can share about how you can use your life, the struggles you've had and the obstacles you've overcome to make the world be a better place. Because people who don't have disabilities, they don't necessarily have a great understanding of the world, or they've never had someone not want to help them just for a silly reason, like they're blind or they have a cane. So you sharing those stories is important. And even though you might not feel comfortable sharing those stories, the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. I don't necessarily feel comfortable sharing the stories every time that I give a speech, whether it's here today or when a company hires me to bring me in. Sometimes there are stories that I've never shared that are important. And I know that sharing those stories can then lead to change and can then lead to more people having opportunities. So getting past the fears you may have of sharing your stories or sharing some of the mistakes you made, just like I didn't tell Alex and Tyler how much they helped me whenever we were at the Indiana School for the Blind. That was a mistake. I messed up. Whenever I was at Evansville, I didn't properly thank the students that helped me. I just always thought I'd have my Monday, Wednesday, Friday lunch girls and my Saturday, Sunday breakfast girls and everything to always be there for me. Then when I got to Western Illinois, I realized, well, those people, they might not always be there, or they may tell you that they're going to help you. And then when it comes down to it, they just won't do it, or they'll feel nervous about helping you because you're blind or whatever disability someone might have. So really realizing the mistakes that you've made in your life or how you could have done better in a situation, that's how you can do better in the future. Those are all things that I think about when I work with a new team or a company, and those are all byproducts that I help happen when we run a program for people who have disabilities with the Beautiful Lives Project, whether it's the event tomorrow with people with disabilities playing on the court with the Western Michigan men's basketball team, or Thursday when it's going to be 90 degrees, but we're still running an event where people with disabilities are playing on the field with the Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball team in Lansing, Michigan. They're the high A team for the Oakland Athletics. The event is important, giving people that opportunity to learn basketball skills and baseball fundamentals. One of the most important aspects is giving them the chance to make those lifelong friendships, to make those lifelong bonds, to really show the players and coaches of these teams, hey, people who have disabilities can do whatever they want to do in their life. And when you finish playing sports, when you open up a company, hire someone with a disability to work for your company. Give them that opportunity. They deserve it. That's all people who have disabilities want in life, is an opportunity. Sometimes they're given that more readily than others. And sometimes they have to create those chances and those opportunities on their own. Our website, one more time, for the Beautiful Lives Project is www.beautifullives.org. And listen to some videos on there. Watch some videos if you can see. Read some articles. If you'd like to call me or text me, my phone number is 812-899-5673, 812-899-5673. You can also email me if you choose to do so at bryce@beautifullives.org, B-R-Y-C-E at beautifullives.org. I'm grateful for Tyler Shirk for inviting me here today. Also thankful the Amtrak train got me to Kalamazoo, only an hour behind schedule, so I was able to have my dinner, so I'm not too grouchy when I go. I'd be happy to take any questions, thoughts, or comments that you might have. Tyler will, or someone will, orchestrate how they want to go about doing that. And I'd be happy to speak more on any subject matters or topics that you might find of interest. Thank you for having me on here this evening.
Hey, Bryce, this is Michael Loff. I just had a quick question for you. Did hear you, I believe on 91.5, which of course UE has since sold the radio station about 3 years ago. But I'm just curious if you have any recordings.
I do. I have clips I can email to Tyler if he wants to send that out to everyone. I have some clips of me commentating Evansville basketball from 5 or 6 years ago. And then I have 5 minutes when I was on with the Boston Celtics radio broadcasters that I can send to Tyler. And then those are the ones that I can most easily send to him. Tomorrow evening, I'm going to be on with the Lansing Lugnuts radio broadcasters for the first and second inning of their game. And that can be listened to on TuneIn Radio. Let me try and get that up so people can save that station in their favorites or download the TuneIn Radio app if they have it. I'm going to try and work on that right now.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest, if you haven't done so, you might put some of that on your website. That would be very inspirational to people. And, you know,
so we don't necessarily put the radio clips. Well, so I have the rights, but it doesn't deal with Beautiful Lives Project. And so we try to separate my life from Beautiful Lives Project. Like, so my Baltimore Orioles work is different than Beautiful Lives Project. My work helping EverFi, Latch, and Gray Television is different than Beautiful Lives Project. So we only put Beautiful Lives centered articles on the Beautiful Lives Project website. Whether they talk fully about Beautiful Lives Project or if it gets a mention, we put it. If it's just about my work as a broadcaster who's blind and it doesn't mention Beautiful Lives Project, they may put it up there for a second, but they would then take that down because the Beautiful Lives Project focuses on Beautiful Lives Project things. So.
Hey, Bryce, it's Corey. Wow, what inspiration, the words and stuff like that, encouragement. How many people after you had, after you had this issue in Western Illinois, how many people that actually got hired on a team or on a company that had disability?
I don't know the exact numbers, but I know that I've helped about 20 to 30 people who have disabilities find jobs with the various companies that I'm working with. And I could do a better job with that if I could get companies to set budgets to accommodate various disabilities, because right now some of the companies that I'm helping, they are connected to, say, a certain man in a city or a certain lady who can help them find people who have disabilities to fill job roles. That's not how I'd like to really fill the job roles, but they don't have the funds to set up a budget to where I can send jobs out to local and to national groups for people who have disabilities.
Michael, with one final question, do you have any other like blind mentors, people like Bob Greenberg, who I know did a lot of work for the Chicago White Sox, and did you have other folks, or did you really feel like you were totally on your own and doing this and just seeing what results you could get?
I know Enrique Olu, who's the blind Spanish radio announcer for Tampa Bay, but I've basically just done it myself.
We just want to thank you for leading by example, and we hope that we do the same for you in return.
Yeah, thanks.